content and material discussed in these podcasts are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for your professional veterinarian's advice, diagnosis, or treatments. Always seek the assistance of your own veterinarian with any questions you may have regarding the medical condition of your pet.
Excuse me, are you in the know? This is a Knowin.co production.
Welcome to Talking Pets Podcast number one. Today I'm going to be discussing how to prevent behavioral problems in kittens so they don't become serious problems when they become adult cats. And also, we're going to talk about how to safely transport your cat. Before we get started, let me tell you about how I got where I am today. I grew up in the inner city of Cincinnati. My father and grandfather worked at the Cincinnati Stockyards, where cattle and hogs were sent prior to being processed into steaks and pork chops. We lived in an old tenant building with a kitchen, living room, one bedroom, no hot water, and a galvanized tub. Once a week, my mother would heat water on the stove and get the tub out of the closet and put the hot water in the galvanized tub where we would take a nice bath. My father was making $15 a week. My grandfather was a commissioned cattle buyer for the stockyards, and every Friday afternoon, he and my grandmother would drive about 40 miles up in the country to Mount Orab, where they had a very small cabin on the White Oak Creek. We eventually moved to Mount Carmel, which was about halfway between their cabin and where they lived, and each week, either my brother Bob or I would go with them. My brother and I fought too much to go together. On Saturday mornings, my grandfather would visit local farms where he would purchase cattle for the stockyards. My grandfather had wanted to become a veterinarian and actually attended college for 1 year, but due to financial reasons, could not return. Because he had 1 year of college wanting to be a vet, he was always asked to do minor surgeries on the calves at the farms we visited. I can remember watching as the farmers held a calf against a gate. I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen next, but then my grandfather would reach into his pocket and remove his razor-sharp pocket knife. He would lean down by the calf and pretty soon stand with a bloody hand, a bloody knife, and two calf testicles in his hand. Boy, was I impressed. While my grandfather was dickering with the farmers over the price of the cattle, I was always playing with their dogs and cats. And since my grandfather had wanted to become a veterinarian, I decided so did I. I just loved animals. When I was in high school, I worked for 3 years for Jerome Fix, a local veterinarian. As soon as I got home from school, I rode my bicycle to his office and worked from 3 o'clock until 8:30, 5 nights a week. And even though he was a taskmaster, I loved every minute of it. I made 75 cents an hour. And after 3 years, I actually got raised to $1.25 an hour. I earned a 4-year degree in animal science at Ohio State University and then was lucky enough to be accepted to the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine, which was a 4-year program. It was a very difficult curriculum, but I loved every minute of it. I graduated in 1973 and worked for another veterinarian for 2 years and realized if I was only making $13,500 a year, I may as well try to make a go of it on my own. We started and owned Milford Animal Hospital and 44 and a half years later sold it to one of my associates, Dr. Chelsea Slider, and her practice manager, registered veterinary technician Aaron Schaefer. I feel it is one of the highest quality veterinary practices in the greater Cincinnati area. In 1990, I hosted a weekly live 1-hour call-in show called Pet Talk on 55 KRC. Listeners would call in with their pet-related question, mostly medical problems and behavioral problems. I stopped doing the radio show in August of 2019 after 29 years. I am now retired, and Talking Pets with Dr. Gary Clemens is my new endeavor, and I can't wait for you to join me on this adventure as I present dog and cat topics gathered from my 46 years of experience performing a job that I loved every single day. Thank you so much for joining me. As I was sitting in my chair and working on this podcast, Joey, my 16-pound, 10-year-old neuter male cat, insisted on sitting on my lap, covering up all my papers. Joey and I have a special bond. Every night around 3 a.m., I am awakened by a tap-tap, tap-tap on my shoulder, and I'm required to turn over, lift the covers so Joey can snuggle in my armpit, get warmed up, and fall asleep while I struggle to get back to sleep. Have you ever visited a home where the cats immediately ran away or hid when you entered? I know I sure have. Maybe the same thing happens with your own cats, or do they get stressed out when they're exposed to the slightest change in your household? When family or friends visit, do your cats start spraying or urine marking? That's a horrible thing to find, isn't it? Suppose you would like to adopt another cat or kitten, but you anticipate how your own cat will react, and this prevents you from ever considering it. Or what if your own cat develops diabetes and hates the injections and hates you for administering them? Or what if your cat required daily oral medication? Wouldn't it be nice to own a cat that allows you to do these things? According to Sophia Yen, DVM, a board-certified veterinary animal behaviorist, these issues are difficult to deal with in adult cats, but they could have been easily prevented if these cats had received early socialization as kittens. Additionally, early socialization in kittens is relatively easy, especially when compared to similar socialization in puppies. The American Association of Feline Practitioners say the prime time to socialize kittens to people, pets, and situations that cats may encounter later in life is between 3 and 9 weeks of age. Now, you know, most of us don't adopt kittens until they're probably 7 or 8 weeks old, so it doesn't give us a whole lot of time, but you can keep trying. Dr. Yin says during this time, kittens might startle easily, but they recover quickly and can accept new objects, people, handling, procedures, and different environments as being safe. This socialization must continue through their adolescence to ensure that it is retained. Dr. Yin also says early socialization can completely change the personality of a shy, aloof, fear-aggressive kitten to a cat who is outgoing, affectionate, and handles stress well. It can mean the difference between a cat who urine sprays when a new pet is introduced to the home and one who takes new people, animals, and new environmental changes in stride. The big question is, what do we have to do to be sure our kittens grow up to be well-socialized adult kittens? I'm going to be talking about 8 or 9 different things that you can do to help socialize your kitten. The first thing is kitten kindergarten. Between 7 and 14 weeks of age, if somebody offers it or a friend has kittens, it's a great thing for your cat. You want to make sure there's plenty of toys, scratching pads, hiding places, litter boxes, a well-behaved, well-socialized dog that will lie down and stay, and friendly adult cats. Now, the trouble is, there's very few places that offer kitty kindergarten. There's a lot of places that offer puppy kindergarten. So the next best thing you can probably do is find a friend or a neighbor or somebody, a coworker, who has another kitten or maybe has an adult cat that's friendly, where you can take your kitten over and let them be socialized with that cat. Or if you have somebody that has small children, they can come into your house as well. The next thing you need to do is handling. You must teach your kitten to enjoy being handled. And when you do that, you must support the kitten gently so she cannot escape. Because once they realize they can escape, they're going to struggle to get away all the time. The first thing I would recommend clients do is place the kittens on its back in your arms, almost like you're holding a baby to give it a bottle. Keep them there, kind of scratch them under the chin, rub their tummy, do anything to make it comfortable for them, and then let them down and let them play. And you want to repeat that multiple times a day. Then you can place the kitten back in your arms, upside down, place it on its back in your lap. That's another good thing to do, and just sit there and play with it. And you can give it kitten treats afterwards to reward it. You want to hold the kitten in all different positions, upside down, sideways, and be sure to handle all the body parts to desensitize it, which means touch its face, touch its ears, touch its abdomen, lift up the tail, and particularly mess with the feet all the time, because eventually you're going to want to trim the kitty's toenails. The next thing is to teach the kitten how to take a pill by using little treats. Find some little tasty treats that your kitten absolutely loves. And what I recommend is when you go into the veterinarian for the first kitten visit, have them show you how to give the kitten a pill. And basically what you want to do, if you're right-handed, take the kitten's head in your left hand and sort of tilt the head back. And when that happens, the kitty will open its mouth just slightly. And then what you do is kind of take your middle finger or your right hand, pry down the lower jaw gently, and then pop the pill into the back of the kitten's throat, and then let it eat the treat. And if you do that multiple times a day, the kitten's going to look forward to having its mouth opened and be used to taking pills when it gets older if it has to do it. Another thing is called scruffing. If you've seen a mother cat, they will often carry kittens by the scruff of their neck. I can remember one of my clients told me about a feral cat that she would feed, and this cat had kittens, but she didn't know where the kittens were. Well, one day she looked across her backyard and saw the mother cat carrying a kitten. And what they do is they grab the skin, right above the shoulders on the back of the neck and lift the kitten up. And it almost has like a paralyzing effect. It doesn't really hurt them. But this mother cat carried all the kittens up onto her porch one at a time until they were all up there. And apparently she had been frightened by a coyote or a raccoon or something trying to get her kittens. And she actually allowed the owner to bring the kittens and her inside and put them in a small room where she could nurse them. So scruffing is a real important thing. What you do is you just sort of pinch the skin above the neck, and you can actually turn them on their side. You can lift them up that way. It doesn't really hurt them. Let them go and then give them a treat. And you want to do this in all different locations. So pinch them, turn them on their side, scruff them. When you do it on their side, that's important because when your kitten goes to the veterinarian, the first thing they're probably going to recommend is doing a blood test for feline leukemia and feline immunodeficiency virus. And because their little veins are small, they will often use a tiny little 25-gauge needle and take a blood sample from the inside of one of the rear legs or from a jugular vein. So if your kitten is used to being scruffed, they're going to be scruffed by the veterinary technician to make them hold still so they don't hurt them. So do this on their side. And again, give them a tasty treat, maybe a little bit of tuna or some treat every time you scruff them. Another thing you can do is get them used to being groomed. I like to use a flea comb on my cats because it's gentle. It gets all the way down to the skin and it takes the undercoat out. But whatever kind, you can use a slicker brush, whatever you prefer, but get them used to being brushed and combed when they're small, especially if they're long-haired cats, because long-haired cats get matted up badly. They have tremendous number of hairballs, and the more hair you can take out, the less hairballs. If you've been licked by your cat, you realize their tongue is kind of a bristly thing. If you look at that tongue closely, it's almost like a brush. Those little spines stick up, and when the cat grooms itself, it separates the hairs and gets rid of the dead hairs. And what happens to the dead hairs? They swallow them, and they either vomit them up as hairballs or they get passed in the feces. So the more you can comb your kitten to get it used to it and desensitize it, the less hairballs your cat's going to have as an adult cat if you continue that brushing on a regular basis. Nail trimming. This is very important so you don't get your furniture destroyed. Again, have your veterinarian show you how to do it. Purchase a good set of nail trimmers at the pet store. Tell them you want one just for cats. The ones for dogs are too big. Basically, if you touch the foot, push on the top of the toe, you'll see the nail pop out, and the nail looks like a nice little hook, and it's kind of translucent, and partway back on the nail, you can see where it becomes pink, and that's where the blood vessel is. So all you want to do on that little kitten is just get that little tip off. You don't want to get far enough back where you're going to hurt it. Get the tip off, do one or two toes, give it a treat. Do one or two toes, give it a treat. Eventually, you can do 1 foot at a time. Pretty soon you can do 2 feet, and then eventually the kitten will let you do all 4 feet. And if you trim the nails on a regular basis, you'll prevent a lot of damage when the kitty gets older and starts using its claws or wants to use its claws on furniture. And that's another thing. Get it used to a scratching post. A lot of cats like fabric scratching posts. Some like sisal, which is like the rope, and they scratch on things to mark their territory as well. Now, you can put catnip on a post. That really helps, but kittens don't respond to catnip until they're older. So when your cat's older, continually put catnip, rub it onto the post, and that will attract them to go to the post. But make sure you have a place for the cat to scratch its nails. And if you buy a cat tree, that is perfect because cats love cat trees. You have to have a cat tree or multiple cat trees. Cats like to get up high where they can look down on their domain. That way they can't be sneaked up on by other cats or predators. And a lot of the cat trees have a place where the cat can scratch their nails as well. Get your kitten used to a collar or harness. Slip it over the head while you're giving it a treat. Gentle Leader makes a Come With Me Kitty, which is, I think, available at Premier Pet Products. These are great. Slip it over the head. When you first put a harness or a collar on a cat, your kitten's probably going to fall on its side like it can't walk again. But eventually, it will get used to that. And if you get a snug-fitting harness and you want to take your cat outdoors for walks, you can also do that. You can put a small leash on the kitty and let them drag it around the house to get used to the weight. And then when they're older, you'll be able to take it for a walk. But never, ever tie your cat outside unattended because they could be attacked by another animal and not get away. It's important to teach your kitty to sit. You want to take a treat, a wonderful treat, and get down on the floor with a kitten. Touch the treat right to the nose, then raise it up slightly over the top of the head. And when you raise it over the top of the head, most kittens will rock back to see where it is and just say, sit, and then good kitty, and give it the treat. Do that multiple times a day, and your kitten will get used to sitting. You can move back a little bit, get the kitten to follow you, say come, and then the kitten will follow you as you move across the floor. So these are some of the things that you can do. Another thing is teach your kitten targeting. This is a way to distract your cat if it's performing a bad behavior. To teach this, start with a pencil or a thin wooden dowel rod, which will be your cat's target. So start with the target out of view behind your back, then rapidly place it 1 to 2 inches from your kitten's nose so he can investigate it. When he touches the target, immediately raise it up and give the kitten a treat. Repeat this maybe 5 to 10 times in a row and gradually move the target a few inches back. When the kitten touches it, give it a reward. Then add a keyword target and immediately present the target for the kitten to touch and be rewarded. Continue this until your kitten responds to the target every time that it is presented. Now use it to distract your cat or kitten when it's performing bad behavior. By exposing your kitten to the various techniques, you will have a well-socialized adult cat who can handle new situations and not be stressed out. Thank you for joining us today. Let's talk about transporting your kitten to the vet. I think we've all had bad experiences taking our cat or kittens to the veterinarian. This is one of the main reasons people don't take their cats for annual physical exam. Another reason is because when the vaccines were approved as 3-year vaccines, people thought, well, you know, my cat's pretty healthy. I'm only going to go in every 3rd year. But that's not good, particularly when your cat gets older. You have to remember, 1 year of a cat's life is like 5 years of ours. So if you waited 3 years to go see the veterinarian, that would be like you waiting 15 years to see your doctor. So go in every year. That way, your veterinarian can pick up things that are going wrong with the cat. They may recommend blood work, or there may be new vaccinations that are available. I hope to provide suggestions so transporting your cat, whether on a trip, to a boarding facility, or to your veterinarian, will be less stressful for all. An ideal carrier must be large enough, but not too large. I've had clients bring huge dog crates in with one cat where it took 2 people and they could barely fit through the door. So if you have a cat in a carrier like that and it's in the back of your car and you stop suddenly, your cat's going to go flying all around and hurt itself. Whereas if you have the cat in a small carrier, it's not going to cause as much problem. I think the carrier should have a door or opening on the top so the cat can be gently lifted out. With carriers that have doors in the front, cats will usually cower in the back of the carrier and make it difficult to remove them, often making the visit even more stressful. When you purchase a new kitten or a cat, place the carrier in a quiet, secluded location. Leave the front door of the carrier open and place some kind of a soft, fuzzy blanket inside. Each day, place some tasty kitty treats just inside the door. And once your kitten's finding and eating the treats, start placing them further inside the carrier. Eventually, your kitten will recognize the carrier as a soft place to sleep with yummy treats. You want to make sure you put the carrier in a place where the cat will be secluded, maybe in a closet or something like that, because cats like to get away from all the hustle and bustle. And if your kitty's not real happy when a bunch of strangers come around, it's good for the kitten to have a place where it can have a safe environment and go hide. Keeping the door open all the time throughout the cat's life is good, because what happens, I can't tell you how many times a receptionist will say, Mrs. Jones is on the phone, she has a 9 o'clock appointment, and she can't find her cat. Well, what happens, the cat knows when it sees that carrier, it's probably going to the vet or have something stressful done. So I tell people, one thing you want to do, if you have an appointment with a veterinarian, put your cat in a small room, like utility room or bathroom, with a litter box, and put the carrier in there as well. So that way in the morning or the day you have the appointment, you know where the cat is, you can go into that room, you can put it in the carrier without it escaping, and you won't have to lose your appointment at the veterinarian. But if you have the kitten and keep that carrier door open all the time with a nice fuzzy blanket in it and some soft, wonderful tasting treats, your kitten will love it, and it won't be upset when you get the carrier out. When it's finally time to transport your kitten, I also recommend purchasing a spray called Feel Away, which is like a natural pleasing pheromone. It smells really good. So spray it in the carrier the night before, spray it in the carrier about 30 minutes prior to placing the kitten inside. And once you get to the veterinarian's office and are placed in an exam room, place the carrier on the exam table and open the front and top doors of the carrier to allow the kitten to exit on its own will. Also, take some of your favorite kitten treats with you and place several of them on the exam table in front of the carrier. Now, some cats still want to stay in the carrier, and the reason I really like the carriers with the top, because you can put the carrier on the floor and gently reach in and take the kitten out. The carriers that just have a door on the front, if the cat's cowering in the back of the carrier, you know, the worst thing to do is turn the carrier upside down and shake it so the cat comes out, because then the cat's totally stressed about the appointment before it even gets started. What I would always recommend doing, if they had a carrier with just a door in the front, we would take the carrier apart, take the whole top off, put it on the floor, and you can actually examine most cats right in the carrier without taking them out. Doing all these things we talked about will help ensure a much less stressful trip for you and your kitten and your future adult cats. In the future, always keep the carrier open and continue placing treats inside. I hope all of these suggestions I've made will help socialize your kitten well, because there's nothing worse than having an adult cat that gets stressed out about everything. So if you listen to this podcast, follow what I told you, teach your kitten how to sit, get them used to the carrier, and your life will be a lot better with your cat, and you'll have an adult cat that is fun to be around and doesn't hide every time someone comes into the house. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. I will post it on my Facebook page, Talking Pets with Dr. Gary Clemens. If you have questions about this podcast or suggestions about future podcasts, please post them there. So for now, I'm Dr. Gary Clemens. Please consider adopting your next pet from a rescue group or animal shelter. Spay neuter your pets, and if God's willing, I'll be back soon with another podcast at Talking Pets with Dr. Gary Clemens. And for now, so long, love your pets with all the love they deserve, and have a blessed week.